Did you find the skull? You like, oh,
As
Skull
you're
Lantern.
leaving, you find Skull Lantern.
You've because you had tried Skull Lantern in your main hand before, and if you use it in your main hand, you just like hit with it. I guess for some, and if you use it in your shield hand, you can block with it, and when you block with it, it makes light.
You hold it up and it's like, oh, it's this little light.
And you find it on your way out.
Witch.
Everyone's frothing at the mouth, and then out of spite, you keep it for the rest of the game and never stop using it.
Yep, you use it in every circumstance past that point, just like, ah, I have the Skull Lantern, pulls out Skull Lantern.
Hey, that
And
was damn useful for changing the lighting in certain circumstances.
that's not the only the Tomb of the Giants was fraudful because you frauded all the enemies by killing them off cliffs. You got the Crescent Axe through fraud because you were trying to get the Prometheus off a cliff and got the bald guy killed in the process.
And then
I
you found
really
the
didn't
Tang
mean to.
Wall.
I
And you
did.
found and there's a Black Knight in the Tomb
Oh
of the
my
Giants.
God.
And he likes to fall off cliffs and die because he's trying to follow you. And that happened, I think.
Yes, he did. The Black
And
Knight fell off a cliff.
Black Knight Halberd appears on your screen. You go, "What? What's that?" You look at it. Its number is huge. You say, "Wow, that number is huge. Oh, I can't equip it."
And you proceed to ignore it for the rest of the game. So, as we mentioned earlier with the Black Knights, they have a small chance of dropping their weapon. The Black Knight Halberd, as we also mentioned before, is the weapon the speedrun uses near exclusively because it's one of the best weapons in the freaking game.
Very and you had the okay
What is this garbage? Whatever, it
I've
continues
got a
to
Crescent Axe.
continues to beat
And
things with sticks.
every person who invaded you or was summoned by you in New Londo
Was using a halberd.
was using that halberd because we were all desperately trying to tell you it's in your inventory, the thing, what you can use
Okay,
now and win
look.
the game with.
I eventually found a different halberd, like crystal halberd or something,
Yes.
You did
and
use it.
I used it and I'm like, it's powerful, but this attack pattern is shitty. I have the strength to use it because I had figured out which button the X button is by that point, which, by the way, is not fair or straightforward as everyone was like looking. Because, okay, you pause the, not pause, but open the menu because there is no pause. And it'll do a text instructions at the bottom, like what buttons do. And to me, it's ingrained in my mind that X button is the one on the top because I had played a lot of Super Nintendo. And on the Xbox controller, X is on the left. And so I was hitting what I thought was X, and it was doing something because that's the Y button, and
It's
the
the
Y
Y button.
button does something in that menu. And I'm like, well, that's that. And I could never figure out what the actual stats were for using things. And so, I remained frustrated for a very long time. Oh, also on the like character stats screen, you can press select to learn more about individual stats. And
But
select wasn't working on that, so I presumed that there was just like this intentional lack of information about weapons and that you just had to know it.
Well, one other thing about weapons, and this is something that the game does with shields in particular. Shields have a displayed number on the like equip screen that only shows like three or four numbers. The
This is the
displayed
attack
number for
score.
the displayed number for shields is the attack score. That's the only number that's displayed on that screen.
Yeah, I did. I watched both NPCs and other players attack with a shield bump, but I never figured out how to do that. I tried for like I intentionally went at it for a space of like 5 minutes, sort of towards the end game, because I had seen people do it, and I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I tried combinations of buttons and,
It depends on the shield. Some shields, in if you're holding it in your offhand, like L1 will be block, and then depending on the shield, L2 will either be parry, or if it's a heavy shield or a special shield, be an attack.
Right. So if you're wielding like this, big old wall of iron
Or like
shield.
the eagle shield, which you had, can't parry. It has a shield bash.
Ooh. Yeah, see, I never went for parry. Because very early on in the Undead Burg, I had, like, gotten parry down a couple times on skeletons.
You were good at it.
And I'm like...
You picked up on that really quick.
And then I'm like, ah, this is inconsistent, and I take hits that I shouldn't. I'm going to not parry all that much. And then there were, the, like, there are so often, like, gigantic hammer attacks, and I'm like, I'm not going to parry that. That's stupid. That can't possibly work, so...
Some Here's of how, them you can.
Yeah.
Okay, I can explain parrying real quickly if you care to hear.
Yeah, go ahead.
Every attack in the game can be parried, but parrying an attack is not always effective. A lot of the times, if you either get very close to parrying an attack or parry an attack that can't be parried, you do a partial parry, which reduces the damage you take and deals no poise damage, so it won't stagger you.
Mmm.
And then almost everything else in the game can be parried, and you can then do a counterattack if the enemy you've parried is either your size or a size larger, like the big fat guys with the clubs in the swamp.
Right.
If you parry their huge club attack, you can then riposte them.
Hmm. Okay, yep. So I did learn what a parry meant and internalized it as, if it succeeds, there's this big there's this noise, and the camera goes, and it's big and obvious.
Yeah.
So I never picked up on the fact that there was a partial parry.
Yeah. That one doesn't have a noise tell. You just take reduced damage.
Yeah. You notice it when you don't get staggered out of the parry animation and take damage.
Yeah, I did see that happen, but I didn't realize that it was a thing.
It meant you were close, is what it meant.
Mm.
The timing for a parry is most easily summed up as the attack would hit your body, if you're in the active frames of parrying, you'll parry the attack.
I think I more or less got that, especially with the final boss.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's see. I crawled out of the Tomb of the Giants and had the lantern, finally, and knew how to use it. And at that point, I had discovered the orange wall.
Yep, you found sealed by the Great Lord.
And at that point, it became my mission in life to figure out who the Great Lord was, and I started by asking every NPC that I could find.
And that did you good, because you tried to talk to the Solaire, who wasn't there. But you found the door, at least.
I did. The first guy, and this was super helpful, actually, the first guy that I talked to, or one of the first, anyway, was the club merchant.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the key from him, and I'm like, oh, there are keys! I should talk to every merchant and see if they have keys. I opened some doors.
He mentions the Capra demon. There's a horrible goat demon down below.
I don't remember that at all.
You internalized it as he was talking about the Minotaur demon.
Oh, right.
Yep, okay.
So go ahead.
All right, so I did discover the stairs down to...
the Lower Burg.
Like
Lower
Burg. Thief land. I'm like, what the hell is all this? Why are the enemies so easy?
So the only note I have here is Capra demon, and... You know, sort of a boss.
Sort of a boss. Okay. There's a lot of things in the game that will get people to either get so frustrated they quit or just decide the game's not fun.
Mm.
One of them is the Capra demon. The Capra demon is a brick wall for a lot of people, unless you know how to fight him. And one of the ways to fight him is to put the stone armor on. Because it lets you absorb his hits and then counterattack him. Because the big threat in that fight is the dogs. The dogs will jump at your face and, like, break your poise and stagger you, and then the Capra demon will hit you twice and you'll die.
Oh.
You could not get staggered by the dogs because you were wearing the stone armor, and you had the Black Knight Shield.
You could not be stopped.
Which could block his attacks. Normally... The Capra demon's jumping at any attack where he uses both hands, like the side swipe or the jump, you can't block that. That will crush you.
Oh.
But you were just so perfectly suited to fight the Capra demon. Like, what was that? Sort of a boss?
And that was a boss!
Everyone, Everyone starts hollering, going, "God, what does he mean?" Just a response. I died to that guy so many times. It was just amazing.
It was very good.
I blew him over like the breeze. I didn't think that he was a boss.
You even found the trick with him, which is, so, okay, you go into that fight, you get killed by the dogs, you go into the fight, you get killed by the dogs, then you see the stairs behind him, and you go, okay, you go up the stairs and kind of walk on this ledge, and you can't be really hit while you're up on that ledge. You just instinctively went straight to that ledge, like, the second you walked in that room.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I wanted to Goomba stomp him.
The normal plan is to head for the stairs... Hope a dog doesn't catch you as you go to the stairs so that you don't get poise broken. So you don't get staggered, and then Capra Demon doesn't kill you when that happens. That happens a lot. If you can get to the stairs, usually you can pick off the dogs, and then the fight becomes...
Yeah, I think I had like done one Goomba Stomp, and both the dogs died, and then it was just sort of like a skeleton fight, except he was weaker than Prometheus, and I'm like...
Yeah.
What the hell is this? The victory victory over what? What?
I hope you have different experiences with Capra in the future.
Okay, fair enough. I'm glad that like the lack of information turned into like my favor, or just, you know, if you assemble things at random and the game has different challenges for you, the one thing that you choose to do, and I was definitely doing like the same thing for every single fight forever, eventually you're gonna run into the challenge that's perfect for.
Yeah,
you were built
to deal with Capra Demon, and that was
you were built. There were a couple other later bosses we'll get to that your build was also just the build for. So anyway, you went ahead. That area was basically like unnotable for you because you're just like a boss. So you went into the depths.
Yeah, that whole place was free. I didn't even feel it. I can barely remember it for how
it's kind of
briefly
short
I was
too.
There. Mm.
It's just a really long alleyway with some thieves and some dogs in it and a really bullshit boss.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I guess that's your time to like learn what the dogs do.
Yeah,
but I never learned what the dogs did.
You killed them in one hit.
Because I'm just
along
like,
with the thieves.
What the hell is this? Crush.
Because the other thing the dogs do is they sort of jump a lot, can be hard to hit. But if you hit them while they're jumping at you, it's fine. You can usually results in you also getting hit, but you didn't care because you had the stone armor on.
I felt pretty good about that armor after I like beat up a huge guy, and then I'm like, oh shit, I get to be him?
The fat man trade hits plan is a good plan. And the Capra Demon was the perfect showing of that. Because you outfatted him, and it worked.
Yeah, you just showed him what for.
Okay, so I did the door that he unlocks is really nearby, too, is the other thing. I felt cheated for that. Because I had been all over the goddamned world looking for any place at all to go, and here's like... Oh, a door, an area. Oh, look, a door. This guy right nearby unlocks it. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I did do all this exploring just to find this, and it's like this straight little path. And
because you like fought
forward.
You had fought the butterfly before. You had fought like all. You had gone to the lengths of the world to try to avoid because you didn't know where else to go. You went into the Valley of the Drakes, which actually.
It very narrowly resulted in bad progress.
So the Valley of the Drakes actually has a shortcut that leads straight to Blighttown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did eventually go to the far side of that in like Roundup again, looking for places to go.
If you had found that as far like before even going to the Lower Burg, which of note you can actually avoid fighting the Capra Demon at all. But
I don't like it. You don't have to go to the depths at all because you can just go to the Valley of the Drakes.
Mm-hmm.
But
there is look, the Drake who is off to the left and on the narrow path. I'm like, shit, I can only get past these guys if I have like room to maneuver, and he wouldn't follow me far enough, so I left him alone.
Yep.
Yeah, they're hard to get by. The Drakes are definitely there to say stop. like, don't come this way.
And yet, like, the first one chose to commit suicide rather than fight me, and I'm like, he must be scared of me.
He comes to the wall. Only a tree towers do that.
The game has a number of enemies that, like, the skeleton wheels would just fall into the void.
There's lots of enemies with weird hitboxes that their corpses like to fall to the floor. Rats are the most notable because you can farm rats for humanity. And it's like the biggest pain in the ass when you kill a rat and it has a glowy. But before you can get to it, it falls to the floor. It's just gone.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, there was a lot of clipping in that. It also took the drakes a while to die, even if it would like fall through a wall or whatever. It was just sort of wait, and then like a minute later, I would get 2,000 souls from nowhere and almost forget what had happened.
They died faster if they fell off the bridge or the cliff than if they clipped through the wall, because when they fell off the cliff, they eventually they fell far enough where the game was like, okay, they die. But like most 3D games that were with platforming at all, there's a kill layer that goes under the entire skybox. The Drake that clips through the wall had to fall that far to hit the kill layer. He had to fall forever, saying, "These wings, what good are these wings?" And then die.
Oh Lord. Well, I'm almost sad that I didn't try harder at the Valley of the Drakes. That would have been awesome.
That's okay.
It's good that you went through the depths, because the depths has two very important treasures in it, neither of which you actually use that much. There's the large ember, which you use to make the rock club, which was needed. Like, if you don't go to the depths, you can't get the large ember, and it sort of bottlenecks your how much weapon upgrading you can do.
Right. The large ember allows you to upgrade weapons either the raw path or to plus 10.
Or to plus 10. And plus 10 weapons can then be made into a couple of different things.
Wait, where was that?
Behind the butcher in a treasure chest.
Mm-hmm. There's a treasure chest. It's just sitting there.
Oh, okay. And yeah, that whole place was like, okay, this is definitely a place, but I had a hard time figuring out like why it was there. Or, like, where, like, any boss was in it. Because it just sort of went on and on. Yeah, and I'm like, okay,
it's sewers, so it sort of twists around itself.
And then there was a giant rat. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's the boss. It's not the boss. It's just sort of there. And it died. And I'm like, oh, I guess you're kind of a chump.
You did find a boss, though. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. That felt like it took forever. I remember getting lost in the sewers and trying to go like any way at all. Oh right, I eventually found the dragon. The toothy
gaping dragon. That guy's a good boss fight. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I just sort of like moved out of the way and hit him with moves.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. He was a fair boss fight. Is you figured out what you have to do, which is you have to let him charge and then go around
hit him twice and
yeah, it can take either a long time or not a long time. There is an Easter egg in that fight. Most bosses with tails, you can cut the tail off and get something. You saw this with the gargoyle axe.
Yeah, I got the gargoyle tail axe that way.
This works with every dragon or enemies like with a tail. If you can kind of slice at their tail, you can cut it off and get a special weapon. That's unique to each of them. For instance, a later dragon, Seath, has a tail.
Yeah, Seath has a tail.
Whoa.
And you can get a wizard weapon from killing him. A very cool one.
Yeah. So,
if you say so. It was a long time before I figured out how to use the miracles that I had upgraded and purchased.
That was in the forest.
It was. So before we get to Cobra Demon and all that, I knew that I wanted miracles, and I knew that I had the faith requirement to use a specific miracle that I had purchased, but I didn't know how to use it because I had tried every button and assigned it and like gone to the bonfire and said, okay, like memorize or whatever store thing. And I'm like, I can switch between them with this thing. It's there. And I'm like, but how does it work?
That was still in the age of the X button defraudment.
It was. And I was still all about kicking things off cliffs, and I still am to a certain extent, but yeah, I have a better amount of damage with weapons now. But there was, okay, there was this special moment where I'm in the forest, and I'm past the Artorias seal place, and there's a dude, and he's a wizard, and he threw things at me, and I'm like, okay, you asshole, fine. I, at one point, got a better look at him when he was switching to, like, he had a sword as well, and he had to switch to a different weapon to use his spell, and I'm like, oh, a weapon will do it! Oh my god! And then I finally figured out how to do miracles!
Yay!
You need a talisman!
Healing was very good. Heal was very good to you.
Yeah.
Sorceries are sort of easier to find than miracles, and that was kind of a shame that you never found some of the better attacking miracles, which there are.
The attacking miracles are kind of are gated behind things you never located. So.
I found force, and you I used force. It a couple times, and it was my favorite thing.
Yeah, there's force.
Wrath.
There's wrath to gods. You did get emit force from Siegmeier, I think, which I don't know if you ever used.
I don't think I did. I had sort of relegated that spot to, okay, let's just crush things and heal myself occasionally now.
Yeah, that's a good plan. Emit Force, though, is a Kamehameha wave. It's kind of bad. It's kind of bad, but kind of cool looking, and it knocks enemies on their ass. It's very fun.
Ha.
Yeah. And there's also, like, you did see the lightning spear.
Yes. Solaire, if you summon him, use the lightning spear. You can do that if you find his clubhouse and join it.
That's one of the things that I like about Dark Souls, and it's the same kind of thing that I liked in Way of the Samurai, is if you see someone with a weapon, generally speaking, you kill him and take it. And this works in a lot of ways in Dark Souls.
There are a lot of rewards in two things here. There are a lot of reasons to just, I found Solaire. What if I just killed him and took his armor here? Yeah, that works.
Yeah, they'd be rewarded for that.
The other thing is that if you see an enemy or like a kind of a humanoid enemy taking an action, and even like a non-humanoid enemy, you can generally, you know, if there's an enemy casting a spell, you can find that spell. If there's an enemy with a specific weapon, you can usually get it.
And the weapon will often imitate what the enemy does. Mm. Like, again, going back to the big fat man in the swamp with the club, you know how they have that attack where they sort of like hook at you and do a swipe.
Yeah. If
you use the large club, you can do that. And it has a super long range and it's great and I love it. That's my favorite weapon. Yeah.
Clubs are great, man. I got to high five you over the distance for that one.
Magic large club.
When you made the large club magic, it's like you were personally fucking with me.
No. Magic weapons are like divine weapons, except they scale off your int. So you took the large club, which scales off of your strength, and turned it into a weapon that scaled off the stat you had like single digits of.
And I was weeping. I was hollering when you got the club because it was perfect for you, the large club.
Is that the club large?
It's the large club. I love the club names.
I guess that leads us to the next place, which is Blighttown, which has a couple things I wanted to bring up as a mechanic.
There was one more thing in the depths.
Okay.
Laurentius, the hobo, the pyromancer.
The guy I freed.
Yeah, the guy
who was just like among some pots or something.
There's some barrels.
He was trapped in a barrel, and you saved him. Mm-hmm. He gave you a pyromancy flame.
Ooh.
What you end up doing with that?
I don't remember having it.
You fed it to the snake.
Yep.
I did.
you got it? You immediately turned around, talked to a snake, and fed it to him.
You fed the... And pyromancy is...
You mean when... much later, when he was in the Firelink Shrine, gave me something there. Okay, I remember doing that.
Yeah, which I guess we've talked about... We've talked about miracles some because you've used them.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned sorceries, and they go off your intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a third magic school.
Oh, I thought pyromancy was just sorcery by another name.
No.
No. Oh. Pyromancy is all fire magic, and it doesn't require any stat to use other than the attunement slots needed to equip it.
Oh. So,
and the way you make it more powerful is by upgrading the Pyromancy Flame.
So it's the power of greed. It's the power of money.
Yeah, it's the money. It's the low-level run power.
Oh.
So we all thought that maybe if you had looked at some of the Pyromancies he was selling, like...
He was selling things?
Yeah, yes. if you can buy some spells from him, like a little fireball or like you shoot some fire out of your hand.
Man, yeah, honestly, at that point, I was not trying to experiment with like new different ways to kill things.
You had found your way.
Found your way and stuck to it.
I'm like, no, it'll take me much longer if I try completely new things.
Well, these are all things I guess to keep in mind for
new runs.
Yeah.
Now that you don't have to worry about brevity anymore,
you can
dick around a lot more.
Yeah,
and the game really is. You can do almost anything you want within the realms of the game. The game is super
That's
open.
That's pretty cool.
And you'll discover that as you play it more.
Okay, so I beat up a huge...
Dragon.
Gnarly-looking dragon. I don't remember what I got from it.
Blighttown key, right.
Yep.
It opens the gate in the depths by the guy
with the
funny hat.
Right. Okay, and then I was able to get to, like, Poison Land...
So there were a couple mechanics in Poison Land that I wanted to bring up specifically to ask your thoughts on. And the first one was kind of the forced bog at the bottom.
The bog.
Like the fact that it was basically unavoidable poison that you had to accept into your heart. That there was no way to get past this without either being poisoned and taking damage in some
fashion.
Well,
up to that point I had been trying to avoid poison, of course, because... Mm-hmm. There was both poison and toxic, and the little, like, square-looking dart shooter guys were the worst thing in the world, because I couldn't even see their darts, and then they didn't, like, I didn't flinch from them hitting my body, and there's just, like, toxic, and by the way, 3, 2, 1, death, and it's like, it's a very, very quick damage over time thing, and you need a specific different kind of moss, which I had a curiously large amount of.
You were in the forest for quite a long time. That's another note I had was toxic versus poison, but you figured that one out on your own very quickly.
I guess I can explain how poison works a little bit. Every source of poison has its own damage. Like poison from the swamp deals a different amount of damage than poison from like the flying mosquitoes.
Hmm.
But the thing all poison has in common is that the amount of time it lasts. If you get poisoned and your bar fills up, you'll be poisoned for 3 minutes.
For
3 minutes. And the bar, the length of the bar is only your resistance to it. Like, it doesn't, if you have a longer bar, it doesn't mean you endure poison longer. A longer bar is better. Toxic, there are some poisons that deal more damage than toxic, but toxic usually deals a ton more damage than average poison, but the difference being that toxic lasts for 10 minutes.
Good God!
They last.
You're
usually dead by around 20 seconds.
I know. I was dead in like 10 seconds from that, and I internalized that as don't ever be toxic for even like a second.
And that's the truth.
And that's the truth. But you can sort of thug out poison like in the swamp, like just ignore it and heal when you have to. Mm-hmm. And that'll work because 3 minutes will pass and you'll be some Estus, out of some Estus, but you'll be not poisoned anymore. But toxic lasts too long for that to work. So you kind of have to cure yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Not only is it, you know, huger damage, it's longer time.
One of the problems that I had in Blighttown was it really forced you to perceive ladders and also dumb platforming stuff and walk across like a creaky rail, and I'm like, oh my God.
So that's, I have two notes on that here. I have, the first note is Root Bridge is kind of there was the specific Root Bridge that killed you, but it's more the fact that there are a number of areas in Blighttown that you walking on is treachery in itself, because you can just die from falling off of a cliff.
And the reason for it is, through the physics engine, it's very rough in a lot of places. And no, a lot of places where it gets rough is where there'll be tiny ledges. Like, there's a bridge that's a root with boards nailed to it. And the reason you die, not even the one that removes. This is a stable bridge.
Yeah.
That kills you because the tiny little inch high ledges made by the boards nailed to it, you'll trip on and then slide off.
Yep.
Yeah, that's something that I resented about the game basically until the very end, like through the entire thing. Anytime that it presented a platforming challenge, as it were, I resented it. I couldn't stand it. The game is not a platformer, and it shouldn't try.
It isn't, and it still
tries. It still tries,
and this culminates in the second to last boss you fought, which I will completely leave until we get there because it's too important to not get its own section.
But what I was bringing up is that Dark Souls is really cool game, but there's a lot of places in it that show a lot of lack of polish.
Yeah.
And the single biggest lack of polish in the game is little things like the root bridge and sliding off because of physics.
Mm-hmm.
Gladly, those are gone in the sequel, and they're not that prominent in Demon's Souls. But in Dark Souls, it's kind of
rough. Okay, so yeah. I got the most raw experience.
You did.
The best way to describe Dark Souls is raw.
It's like everything that you're stepping on is actually a very smooth, rounded surface that curves off in all directions. So you have to.
Yeah, that's kind of it. And
yeah,
it's weird because there's the little moving bridges in Blighttown that are supposed to scare you, but they're kind of relatively safe. And then there's like the root bridge, which is supposed to be a stable, wide footing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just kill you.
I fell off that once and decided that it was impossible to pass, and didn't come back.
You kind of have to be careful.
I eventually got it from the other direction.
Amazingly,
yeah.
I never knew you could do that, but. Anyways,
so the other point I have here on specifically on what you were talking about on ladders is a note that says torches equal ladders.
Yeah. Have you ever played a game designed by Valve?
No.
Really? Like not Half-Life or Half-Life 2?
I've never played Half-Life or Half-Life 2.
Okay.
That's something to solve later, but no. Generally whenever Valve wants you to go to a place, they'll put light there. It's kind of like banana pathing, only light, because it's something very easy to see and very noticeable.
Okay, is banana pathing a term from Donkey Kong 64?
Yes. I treat it as a term from Donkey Kong Country, though.
Yeah, Donkey Kong Country.
That's true.
Because in that one, there's like barrels that are below the bottom of the screen where there's cliffs. But if there's a banana trail there, you're like, oh, let's try that.
It's safe. Okay, that's a different discussion.
What I'll say about Blighttown and the lighting in there was I couldn't tell where a positive light source was. I just saw orange everywhere.
Yeah,
when I was there, so I couldn't see where a light was. So I couldn't see ladders.
Again, that's the end problem again of like kind of the unpolishedness of it.
That is part unpolished and part I don't know. There are. If you walk past a torch and, like, see the flame, like, not even just the light, but the flame itself, it means there's more than likely a ladder there.
Oh.
And okay, we were wondering how much of it was, like, the lighting or how much of it was the monitor.
The small monitor.
There was definitely some times where that got in the way.
to paint a little bit of a picture here. I do have a pretty small monitor. My monitor's maximum resolution is 1024 by 768. And this is small by modern standards. I use it for everything and I like it and I'm used to it. The problem with Dark Souls was that the only way that I could capture it was if I did not have it in full screen.
Oh.
This also meant that I had a bar above and a bar below where there was a like extra light from the white monitor.
Huh.
And I eventually changed my desktop background to black so that this problem would not come up as much.
Oh, so it was even worse than we thought. Oh.
Ouch.
It's very bad. Imagine playing Dark Souls, but someone has like their headlights above the monitor at your eyes. That's more or less what it was like.
Alex, we all started suspecting that the monitor was an issue when you started fighting skeletons at the very start of the game, because you had walked up towards the Undeadburg, the aqueduct, but didn't see the door on the aqueduct.
Yep.
And we thought, oh, he didn't. Oh, because it's so small.
And that door is that door was the progress.
Now, to be fair, I never felt like I didn't have enough resolution on something, but I did feel like I didn't have a good lighting situation. And if I play it for myself again, I'm full screening that shit.
Oh yeah, full screen, yeah, full screen it, and like turn the brightness up a couple of the notches, maybe.
Your brightness was much lower than like kind of default playing the game. I realized that you did listen to what it said in that you should have the dragon visible and the flame. No, you crank it up to like 7.
I sort of
do that with every game anyways.
That's kind of what it expects of you.
I tried doing that in the catacombs. I thought that might be the solution, but that didn't work.
The Tomb of the Giants.
Tomb of the Giants.
The tomb doesn't work. There for you.
That one is extra black. That's Vanta black.
Yeah, that's Vanta black.
Pretty goddamn dark.
Light Town. Another thing about Light Town is it's got sand in it, doesn't it?
Let's see. Where did I feel like there was sand?
When you're walking,
what was the sand?
The sand was the pit in Sen's fortress that had the Titanite demons at the bottom.
Tar.
I have a
note there.
Is the same stuff that's in the swamp. It poisons you and slows you down.
Okay.
And
it doesn't poison you in the tar.
The tar doesn't poison you.
Oh, really?
I was there for way too long. I never would have been able to.
You hung out there. There's no poison in the bottom.
I just associate the two so much because they both slow you down the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you have to walk through the swamp. And
That part I didn't mind so much because I never had to like be in that for too long. I would get to a rocky shore and then Then I could go and fight things.
Whereas Sin's Fortress is a punishment hole that...
Right.
Right.
Jumped in on purpose, apparently.
That's again a bit forward, though. Okay.
Yeah, that's a bit forward. So the poison... There is an entire area of the game that you get through the swamp that you missed because it's hidden, because it's a side area and not necessary.
Yeah, but I have a note that just says tree.
I have a video that shows how to get to the great tree from the swamp, but needless to say, there is a way there, and it's kind of dickish, and the only reason you missed it was because the usual spam of message marks wasn't there when you were there.
Yep.
Oh.
But yeah, there's I guess on that note, there are a pretty, like, there's still a lot of the game to explore for you that you didn't.
Yeah. The
biggest note is that the PC version of the game was the Prepare to Die edition, which came with the console DLC.
Mm-hmm.
That entire portion of the game was completely unexplored by you.
Yeah, it's there for you to enjoy the next time you play.
Okay, well, I did not play the Prepare to Die edition.
It's weirdly gated in such a way that if you do things slightly out of order, you won't find it.
Right.
And also, due to either like a bug or a very poor decision...
I'd say a bug.
You have to reload an area after you do a thing to get a certain enemy to spawn for it to work right.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was no way I was doing that.
Yeah, no way.
You basically would have had to have revisited an area that you had finally decided you had absolutely no reason to revisit.
Yeah, you had
then
finally
cleared
it out.
Then you would have had to have done it again. So
okay, cool. Like, anyway. Okay, the only area that I didn't go back and revisit that I was sort of thinking about and never mentioned was the bell tower in the Undead Parish, because there was a man there. And if I didn't learn anything fruitful from all the other NPCs about the Great Lord, I was prepared to talk to him.
He has a weird purpose. The only thing he actually does is if you like accidentally hit an NPC and make them angry and they start attacking you, you can go talk to that man and pay for your sins, and he'll like pay him an amount of souls based off your level, and then the NPC will become non-hostile.
Oh. So, like, if you had attacked Andre and made Andre mad at you, you could have went and talked to this man to be like, hey, here's the bribe money.
Go bribe Andre for me.
Can you make Andre not hate me?
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so we're in the swamp, and I did find the fire spider lady.
Oh, one other note in the swamp, and this one was here, is Firekeeper Soul.
Firekeeper Soul.
It was a thing because you had encountered a Firekeeper Soul in the Undead Parish.
I did. Okay, let me tell this story. I was in the Undead Parish. I had not yet found Raymond and the Sweet Baby Rays, but I did find the little altar, and it had a big tough guy at the end of it. I'm like, all right, I've gotten through all this stuff. And there's a big tough guy, so let's beat him up. And I walk in, and some stupid wizard was taking pot shots at me. I'm like, I'll get to you later. I did eventually lure this guy into the other room so I could fight him solo. And when I get an enemy solo, I basically have them solved.
Mm.
And so I got him, and then on the altar was a Firekeeper Soul. And I'm like, this is pretty special. What is this? And I read its description, and it's like, reinforces your Estus flask. How do I use it? This is probably wrong, but... Ah, well, and I pulled it up and crunched it like a usable item. And then I immediately went from 5 Estus flasks to 10. And I'm like, oh, cool, I've never had that many before. So that's what it does. sort of root that off. Until... when I revisited the Firelink Shrine and discovered that there were stairs down, because I had never known and didn't, like, see them, there are stairs down, and then there's a lady in a cage who doesn't talk, and it said, reinforce Estus Flask. I'm like, oh, cool. How do you do that? And it says, Firekeeper Soul needed. And I'm like, oh. And I remembered that moment.
I don't know exactly how you got more Estus while you were in the parish. I know that if someone kindles the bonfire that you most recently sat at, you'll get an extra Estus.
That's where those extra numbers would come
from.
There's
a little, like,
the
part
the light that flew in you.
At random. I had no idea why that was happening.
That's one of those mechanics that there's no way you'd be able to figure out.
That not even the game tells you that. And I kind of like that about the game, that there's secrets. But the reason I brought it up especially was because when I first invaded you, that's how I knew it would work. Was because I was sitting at the bonfire in the catacombs. You kindled it on stream, and a little bit before that, I had something, the thing flew into me and gave me extra nests. It's like, wait a second, we're connected. I can get them. And then I did. It was amazing.
Yeah, I know nothing about invasion. I know.
I have a note on Seven's Fortress where to be invaded. That.
Yeah.
We can explain to it when we get to it.
So I know how to be invaded, but that's as far as I ever got into that.
It didn't take you long to figure that out either. That's another thing. When you were in the catacombs, when you were human, you saw patches, and then later when you came back on your way out of the on the way out of the tomb, you tried looking for him again, but he was gone. He was gone because he was dead. He got killed by the dog in the Tomb of the Giants. But you had wondered if being human affects the world state in any way.
Yes.
It doesn't.
Oh.
Yeah, in basically no way other than online play.
I had sort of presumed that if you had humanity and looted an area, that NPCs would show up and just sort of be there, because it had kind of happened in Firelink Shrine, because there's that golden armored guy who's just sort of sitting around that I had saved early on or something.
Lotrek.
Whatever he does. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm human, so they're around. Cool. And they're not afraid of me or whatever. And then, okay, so that's not actually a thing.
Yeah.
There are similar things in Demon Souls. There's a really weird stat in that game that's like world tendency, where, like, the more you die, the more you kill people, the world changes some, and it's very poorly understood and very opaque, and they kind of removed it for Demon's Souls.
Oh, well,
for Dark Souls.
And then they brought it Then they brought it back for one thing in Dark Souls 2. It's very, very silly.
Okay, excellent. So, all right. Are we ready to talk about Fire Spider Lady?
Fire Spider. Yeah.
Because she's at the bottom of the swamp pit poison thing, and I just kind of beat her up.
You fought her a couple times, and you got down her pattern. You noticed her tell on her magic, on her blast, quickly. And that's the one tell you basically need to know for her fight, where she does the kind of like lying down on the spider head, patting the head to do
and
the...
And she hunkers down, and then the explosion happens.
Yeah.
That's her most dangerous attack.
Also, your Black Knight shield could just block it, but, you know.
Jeez, I never appreciated how truly great that thing was. I just sort of had it.
Nothing blocks fire damage better. It has a 95% fire block. And nothing else gets that close. There's, like, the Dragon Crest shield, which when you read 80. It says... Yeah, it's 80, and it's or 85. Mm-hmm. And you read it, and it's like, his shield's good against fire. It's like, oh,
yeah,
worse than the Black Knight shield.
I even put that on for fighting Constant Discharge.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the next note I have here is just CC.
Cecil's Discharge has a trick to him, and...
Yeah, okay, so to quick explain, and you know what, Gnome, go ahead and explain the Demon Ruins quick. It has a gimmick, and the gimmick is the bosses.
Every boss fight in the Demon Ruins has a stupid gimmick to it. Like, Cecil's Discharge is this huge dude that's hard to fight. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be kind of good at dodging. Like, you can dodge his arm slam and then cut his arm up and do that a lot, and then beat him. Like, okay. But he has a ton of health and a ton of damage, and if you're bad at dodging, you will lose. But there's another way. If he does his arm slam attack up on the cliff, like near the altar where you picked up the gold hymn set, and then you run all the way back to the fog door, he will chase you. And he's sort of like sitting in the pool of lava, but if you go by the fog door, you're by a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
He will leap at you and then get stuck, and then you hit him and he falls off the cliff and dies.
What?
There's basically a one-shot way to skip the fight.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's on purpose?
Yes.
It's on purpose.
The hell would you...
The only way you would figure it out is if he was beating the crap out of you and you're like, run away.
Basically, if you were doing a Indiana Jones sort of, like, you got the gold hem set and then decided to freaking, like, book it.
It's a JoJo plan, and it's stupid.
Wow. Gee, I guess I whiffed on that one pretty hard.
Yeah. That's the only reason that I put my sign down was so that you would stop trying to fight him on the stairs, because that was a terrible idea.
That was... Yeah. There were to be fair, there were a lot of enemies who didn't understand stairs very well, and I had used that to my advantage a lot.
Sadly, you have a pretty good way of understanding stairs.
Yeah.
By ignoring them, by being huge.
You would punch into the wall.
Yeah. That was also very hard for me to tell was happening because the camera is like locked on you, and then there's his arm. Where's his arm? I don't know, because you get to see this part of it. And I'm like,
in your body.
Yeah.
Another good thing to bring up is the lock-on is useful most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of fights where you just have to learn not to use it.
Yeah, I didn't learn to do that until Centipede Demon.
Yeah, Centipede Demon teaches you,
you
very well not to... Centipede Demon also has a gimmick, and that's...
After beating up Fire Spider Lady, I found the secret door to other Spider Lady, and that was boring, and there was nothing, and I'm like, oh,
there's
whatever.
That wall that there's always a message on that says, illusionary wall, always.
Yep.
Or, there is actually something there. Do you remember back in the Depths, where you were invaded by murderous Kirk?
Yes.
That was an NPC.
What?
Yes, yeah. Murderous Kirk is a recurring NPC that will keep invading you in different areas if you're human.
Oh.
There are actually about, a half a dozen of them in the game?
Yeah, there's quite a few NPC invaders, and they're there so that even if you play offline, you'll be menaced. That's excellent. I really appreciate that.
I love that. Like that. Okay, so the other half of that is that even if there are no online players, you can summon like NPC helpers like Knight Solaire.
Like Knight Solaire. And some of the invaders will only show up as summons after you beat them. And then some people you can summon will later show up as invaders. It's very, there's an intricate web of, of friends.
Okay.
Some of the invaders will invade you multiple times. Some of them will not. Some of them you'll fight once and then they'll be there for the boss to help.
But Murderous Kirk is the one that recurs. He'll invade you in like three different places if you're human. And if you kill him in all three places, his armor set will show up on that wall.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the armor of thorns that's all spiky.
It's spiked armor that if you roll into something, it will deal damage. Because you're covered in spikes.
Because, okay, gimmick set. Cool.
Yeah.
So you fought Ceaseless Discharge.
Yeah, I found the other area. I'm like, okay, I picked up the gold hand set, and then because he was just sort of sitting there. And I'm like, and then picked up the set, and it's like, okay, that was obviously a dumb thing to do. And fought him a couple times, and I'm like, no, this is too stupid. He does too much damage, and I just left.
So if at that point I have a note here that says Tang Wall, if you had managed to kill him at that point, the lava would have dissipated. You would have been able to continue down that path that you went at the end. But you would have ran into another Tang Wall sealed by the Great Lord.
Yeah, sealed by the Great Lord.
Okay, so that was like the third one in that cutscene that I felt embarrassed that I hadn't seen.
Yeah, that was the one where it was red everywhere and there was Bloom. That was like, Demon Ruins.
That was that. That's the one. It's right in front of the door to the Demon Fire Sage.
Okay.
So, yep.
All right, that basically makes sense. That's not too bad.
It's also worth noting you got the gold hidden set from there, which you used quite a bit, right?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I put that on any time that I needed to move quickly and be fast, and I could have picked basically anything, but I kind of liked wearing it. And since it was guarded by such a huge, powerful dude, I presumed it was great.
The gold hidden set has some is unique in ways that it has extremely high fire resist, being a set that's in the fire zone, but it also isn't upgradable. It's already at its full capabilities,
which is a recurring theme for you. Like, you use the stone armor, which is already maximum. Like, you can't upgrade the stone armor. You can't upgrade Havel's armor either.
Right.
And then you had the Goldhem set, which is good because upgrading armor is super expensive. Because you have one armor, you have one weapon you use. You upgrade it. It's only one thing to upgrade. You have to upgrade five different pieces of armor if you upgrade armor.
I don't think I ever upgraded armor.
Yeah. You upgraded like your shield.
Yeah. That fits in the weapon.
Yeah, it's in the counts weapon. Counts as a weapon.
It's a weapon because you could bash with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Or if you use a shield in your right hand, you like punch with it, I think. Very silly. But
weird. Yeah, I never tried that.
So having unupgradable armor was kind of a boon to you because it was... It kept you from the expense of having to upgrade armor. There are a lot of armors you can upgrade that are really good. Like the Elite Knight set for particular, if you upgrade it all the way, is more protective than Havel's armor. Doesn't have as much poise, but like edges it out in terms of protection and is much lighter.
Yeah, it's the weight is a big concern there. Yeah,
so a lot of armors in the game, you can upgrade most of them. Most of the time it's worth upgrading them. It'll be expensive, though.
Hmm.
Like, one thing you never had to do was grind for Titanite shards.
Oof.
Or kill leeches in the swamp for large shards.
Or kill a enemy you encountered for Twinkling Titanite that you never...
Yeah, they never dropped the Twinkling
Titanite. They never dropped it.
Which I was sad about. The clams.
The clams drop two items. They drop Twinkling Titanite, but they also drop... Purging stones.
The skulls.
The skulls that are inside them.
Purging skulls. Purging stones are skull pearls that relieve you of curse. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a second.
I would have loved that.
I know. Yeah. Especially because you needed two of them when you were fighting Seath. One of them when you were fighting Seath.
What? No, I didn't. Whatever.
Whatever.
I beat him up.
I know. Anyway, you needed one after. Anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You didn't need one afterwards, but yeah, you did beat up Seed. You just, who cares?
I planted my feet and I used my stubbornness to my damned advantage.
Like, that was good. That was,
yeah.
Like, because I weighed the possibilities of, okay, I'm cursed. I could run all the way back to New Orleans and then, like, fire warp to here or something.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's not a convenient teleport bonfire to New Londo Ruins, which I call New Orleans. Yeah. But, there wasn't at the time, anyway.
Actually.
You can warp to Firelink, and then you can warp back to Duke's archives.
Well, even honestly, even warping to Firelink and running through all that just to take the skull off and get like my health bar up, that was not something that was appealing because I knew that the only way that I was going to do the fight was by practicing it and getting repeated trials near enough to one another that I don't forget. Mm-hmm. And that's
important, yeah.
So that's when I decided to plant my feet and say, I have the skull, but I'm going to fight it anyway.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll get to there a little later.
Yeah. Sen's Fortress, I guess, is the next area.
Yeah, after Cecil's discharge, I ran away. Let's see.
You walked back up and couldn't find stairs. I remember that.
Right, you had to. You walked all the way back through the depths. Rather than find the way up from the Light Town, there's an elevator, a really rickety, like rotating wheel elevator
that will kill you.
It's very easy to fall off of and die, but that takes you up to the top, and then from there you can go out into the Valley of Drakes.
I never saw that at all.
Again, more to find in the future.
Yeah, more to find in the future.
Great, that was a slog, and I hated it, and I resented it. And when I got back to the sewers, I remember having a very difficult time there because I was just trying to get up and out.
Yeah, and, it took you a while to find the way out.
There is a way. It's just like a door. Mm-hmm. You go up and go through a place. And I remember feeling really relieved when I finally got there because I'm like, yes, I can get the fuck out of here.
I can see the sun. Praise the sun.
Praise the sun.
So, all right. So then I was back in Firelink Shrine, and was Nessie there at that time?
Yeah. Yes. Nessie, the snake appears. I guess he has a name. He is King Seeker Frampt. Appears as soon as you ring both bells. And you used some of his abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
He's a salesman.
I remember feeding him things.
If you feed him just any old item, he'll crap out some souls.
Which is great, I think. It's just because you get a ton of them. Like, okay, I had like 20 copies of
Longsword.
Hollow armor.
Hollow soldier helm or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a way to free up your inventory. And you can also feed him upgrade materials, and he'll break them into multiples of the upgrade material a level down.
Oh.
Like, if you feed him a Titanite chunk, he'll give you 3 Titanite shards. And if you feed him a Titanite shard... Wait, what?
Large Titanite shards.
Yeah, large Titanite shards. And if you feed him a large Titanite shard, he'll break it into 3 Titanite shards. At one point in the game, it gets easier to farm for Titanite chunks than it does Titanite the large shards. So you can just farm large ones and then break them up.
That's kind of neat.
But only if the snake is your friend, which is not always the case.
You can make the snake not your friend.
Through a couple of different ways.
Well, okay. The first time that he was there, I didn't talk to him. Because he looked like an enemy, and I could lock onto him, and I didn't want to get that close to something big and scary and dangerous, and I did not get close enough to get the talk prompt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another thing.
I just kind of ignored him the first time. He was there. I forget when I decided to try and talk to him.
My notes say you went back on Sen's Fortress to talk to him. You did speak to him before the Lord Vessel.
Really? Interesting.
Yes. You were finding your way through Sen's Fortress, stopped for the day, and then you went back to talk to the big snake.
Oh.
Right. Yeah.
It was at the beginning of one of your streams.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, I don't remember exactly how that happened. I do remember approaching Sen's Fortress, though. Yes. Oh, my God. It was at that point that I no longer felt like I was cruising through an area that I should have done a long time ago.
You had caught up.
At that point, I felt like on plan. Like,
at that point, you still had your club plus three when you entered, and after a couple fights, you decided that that could not stand.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing the game sort of tells you, too. If you go through Sen's Fortress, you'll find some chests with large Titanite shards in them, and that's the game saying, hey, upgrade your crap. It's not going to cut it if you have a plus five weapon here.
Okay, so Crescent Axe was the thing through there.
Because you made Raw Club, and then the age of Raw Club was upon you.
Right. Raw Club happened at the end of one of the. It was like at the end of the first time you went in. After a couple hours, you came out and made the Raw Club, and then it was the Raw Club time.
Then I basically never went back. I love it.
Well, look, Crescent X would have been a fine weapon too if you had upgraded it, but you had put your Twinkling Titanite into
your shield.
I think the Black Knight shield,
which was a correct decision.
I never saw it visibly upgrade things. I'm like, that was probably okay.
Upgrading the Black Knight shield upgrades its stability pretty heavily. A fully upgraded Black Knight shield, I want to say, is in 70s to 80s in stability. It can just take hits. It is, again, huge.
Very huge shield. Whereas upgrading your weapon would have, like, gave you damage, but...
Hmm.
But defense was like more your deal.
Let's
anyways.
See, Sen's Fortress. There were rolling rocks.
Boulder. I have Boulder in all caps.
Boulder. The pendulums, which were difficult to see.
It was okay. The thing about 3D games is that yes, it presents you with this like environment and it's all rendered. It's just flat on your screen though.
Yeah.
And so when you really, really need to know how large something is and how far away it is, you actually cannot, and you need extra clues in order to do it. You can accomplish this with parallax, and you can accomplish it with shading, but if you don't have those things, then it's perfectly ambiguous as to where something actually is. And this happened a ton, even after I had been through some of the traps in Sen's Fortress, where are the goddamn pendulums? Moreover, in many of them, you're under pressure from above, like the...
I think the pressure is the real thing. So I think if you get pointy headed and squint really hard, you can sort of see clues on the pathway where the blades are.
I was going to say
blood splatters.
I was going to say more relevantly for those, you can actually press up against the flat of the pendulum.
Oh god!
You can just walk into them. And
walk into them. They aren't damaged from that side. They're only damaged if they hit you from the.
Okay. I'd like to amend that slightly.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have your shield out, it'll push you.
It might.
Because I remember trying to like walk up and be safe and getting like knocked, and I might have even fallen off. And at that point, I decided that they were just unapproachable.
That might have happened because you're... Okay, so explaining another mechanic that I guess is good to explain here. It was most relevant in the archers. The way your blocking works is
oh, God.
You... When you block a hit and it does knock back to you, you knock back in the direction you are, like opposite the way you're facing, regardless of where the hit comes from. So if you were to hold your shield up into the pendulum, the shield will block the pendulum strike from the side, but it would knock you backwards.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And there's a couple of things it's also worth bringing up here as good as anywhere. There are a lot of things in the game where holding your shield up will interrupt. Like, if you have your shield up, you can't press A to get rid of a prompt. Like, if you got an item pickup.
Oh, Lord.
So if you have your shield pressed, you can't press A to make the thing go away.
The most relevant of these is backstabbing and parrying.
If you have your shield up and you're behind an enemy, even if you're perfectly positioned, if you attack while your shield is held up, you will not backstab them. Your shield has to be down for it to work.
Oh, Lord.
And I think it has to deal with the fact that the game doesn't like to put you in more than one animation at once.
Yeah.
Th- This was something that was even in the kiln at the end.
Yeah, even in the very end, it was just like the backstab wouldn't work, and I'm like,
it's sort of hard to figure out. Sometimes it's actually useful to be able to use shielding to like cancel things or not go into an animation you don't want. But most of the time, it's just something to be mind. The easiest way to be mindful of it is don't hold down block unless you're blocking.
Yeah. I mean, anytime I'm going to a totally new place, it doesn't matter how dangerous it looks. I'm going slowly and I have my shield up because I have no idea what's past there.
You don't want to just take a hit.
And that's something everyone does. But
you'll notice this in my videos if you watch them. Like, okay, the first time I go through a place, it's always super slow. I always have my shield up. But even upon the second time, it's like, okay, I know where the enemies are. Hoof, 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 hoof. There you are, and let's go. And then I'll get up to the point where I was and start going slow again. Because, again, it's totally new to me. There's traps all over the damn place in Sense Forgers.
And also, that kind of, at times, and this happens to every single person playing, you will go through... Sense Fortress is a really good example of it. Sense Fortress is long, and you'll learn the first two-thirds of it, and you'll know where the traps are, but you just want to get through the damn thing.
Mm-hmm. And you'll start rushing.
And then when you rush...
That's when the game starts laughing at you.
Yeah. There are many, many times in the game that are significantly more difficult if you're trying to rush through them or if you get impatient.
Yeah. The game really wants you to be patient. With the shield, it's also just a bad idea to block too much because your stamina goes
down. You'll never be able to attack.
So, like, only block when you're going to get hit.
Okay, so let's see, Sense Fortress. I remember going up to, like, the tall, super fun, happy slide thing on the outside of it. Mm-hmm. And Siegmeier. He was sitting out there that time, and I'm like, oh, he's not fast enough to get up.
He's too fat. You can't roll fast.
You turn the boulder, and then he's able to progress.
Mm-hmm.
One thing of note there.
Snakes were dead.
Yeah, when you first encountered Siegmeier down there, there's two dead bodies of two snakes.
Yeah.
That is the first time I've ever seen that happen. Usually those snakes are alive because of a glitch.
Snakes are supposed to be dead because it's supposed to be like Siegmeier is sort of like Pooh Bear and how comical he is. But he's like a serious dude.
Right, no, I thought he had... Machine. Yeah, I thought he had fought his way past them and just couldn't get back up.
He did. He's supposed to.
Oh.
That's what he had done. It's just that the game glitches most of the time and those are usually live.
And the snakes will be alive and you have to fight the snakes to talk to them or they might hit Siegmeier and kill him.
Oh, no!
But it turned out perfectly for you because that's exactly the idea that the game is presenting.
Yeah, and if you ever fight Siegmeier... You can kill him not that difficultly because NPCs are kind of stupid, but do be prepared to be crushed because he uses the Zweihander, and the Zweihander is for crushing.
Oh, I think I had dismissed that thing for some reason. Oh, no. It was one of the things that was like tall, but I couldn't wield it.
Yeah, you didn't have enough strength at the time. And then
I forgot it was there, and then my inventory is just full of stuff, and it all looks the same, because there's a little picture and some numbers next to it, and you're like, whatever.
I'm glad that you finally decided the dragon tooth was going to be your target.
That was a good one.
Mostly, I was just glad that you decided on a target.
Yeah, something other than the club.
Okay, so I looked at some of the required stats after I could, and... like the shield was like, here are 50 something strength. I'm like, no, that's dumb. But then I'm like, wait, 40?
I have 36 strength.
I have 30. That's doable. Let's do this. Because I had been like pushing strength. Because I'm like, whatever, strength is cool. And honestly, Gnome, a lot of the times where you wanted me to like just spend things, get a level, whatever, I didn't spend it because I didn't know what would be good.
Yeah. No, that's. That's like a correct thing, too.
And
it's
hard to
know what's good.
I just didn't know, and I knew, I did know that every time I spent something, the next upgrade would be harder. So if I put a bunch of levels into something that was useless, that would make future leveling harder. And that, and, you know, it did work against me, because I lost a I lost hundreds of thousands of souls, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Everyone does that.
It happens. I learned to cope.
If you never felt bad about it, that's good. Because that's what really... The real reason you spend your souls, because a lot of people really take it to heart. Like, I lost like 3 levels worth of souls. Or like, I lost a bunch of humanity. What do I do? Yep. You just deal with it. There's more.
You push forward. There is no limit. Pick up a stick, the nearest one, and you plunge it into the first enemy you see.
Yeah.
There are no limits to the enemies you can encounter. There are no limits on the amount of humanity you can get from, like, you can... It's not like there's a finite amount of souls in the game.
It does.
Not in this game.
Honestly, it does feel that way the first time you approach it, because you're like, oh, I killed a guy, and he's just gone. And then you rested a bonfire in, like, the undead burg or whatever, and all the skeletons are back, and you're like, oh, they're back. I have to deal with them again. But the flip side of dealing with them again is that you get to get the souls again, and that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And even the act of dying a lot, if you can keep getting your bloodstain back, will get you more souls. So, like, if you can at least keep getting back to your bloodstain...
Oh man, that was... I really resented the first invader before taking out the gargoyles.
Because they
killed me before I could get back to my bloodstain in the gargoyle fight, and I was so mad.
Speaking of invaders, in Sen's Fortress, that was the first time I invaded.
Hmm.
I spawned at the pendulums. I walked past them. I walked around. I got to the boulder. I watched the boulder go by, walked out. The second boulder came by because of lag and killed me.
Yeah.
So my strategy for invaders after really after the one that I had like Goomba stomped and crushed was to, as soon as I could, get to the most treacherous possible terrain. Because I recognized that I was not very good at fighting human opponents, because I'm big and slow, and every human opponent who had invaded me was all like rolling and dodging. I'm like, I'll never hit you. But if I take you to a place where rolling and dodging is super treacherous, then I can win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it happened to be convenient at that time that I had extremely treacherous terrain all around me, and
yep, that continued a trend where every time I appeared I died. But another invader that happened there was Lady Pyrrhoth.
That's where she started watching.
Yeah, she invaded there the first time.
Oh, that was her.
Yes.
I didn't take note of her name at that time.
Yep.
It was only when she kept helping me that I took stock of her name.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the other upstage payload 4 was the final of the norm of the kind of regular
upstage
squad. Yeah.
See, okay. About my experiences, I was always streaming on the same night of the week and at the same general time. So, in this way, you could know when I was on and plan your week around invading me, which is a little unusual an experience.
This worked against you a lot, especially when I was involved.
Oh, yeah.
You in 2 specific instances had...
Yeah, I was doing it on purpose. but a lot of the times, it was actually to your benefit. Like, you were able to summon at all in New Londo, and you were able to summon in the Demon Ruins for Ceaseless Discharge. Usually impossible to find friends to summon there. Nobody likes it there, so nobody puts their sign down.
But I'm a celebrity now.
But
so.
you had your crew hanging along.
Okay.
Yeah, you
had... that's pretty cool.
We'll get to New Londo when we get there.
Another really important thing for Sens, mimics.
Mimics.
Okay, see, this is something that I, based on the fact that there are chests in the game and the kind of game that it is, I presume there would be a mimic somewhere.
Yep.
And they're great, aren't they?
You could not have expected what you got.
I didn't, and I laughed my head off. I kept laughing, like, after the first couple of times that I ran across mimics, I just couldn't deal with how stupid and funny they look.
They're great. I love them.
Amazing.
And the better yet is they're super... dangerous. They will kill you.
They're pretty damn lethal, and their hitboxes are wacky, and they're big and stupid and wacky, and I love them.
And they do, like, ballet moves and kick you.
I love their kick.
God. Like, even if you're completely behind it, it'll get you with that kick, because it, like, starts its backswing above your head,
yeah,
and it'll come down and get you, and it's like...
A lot of enemies will have that, where they have, like, a backswing that'll get you behind them.
Oh, man. Black Knight with the axe will do that. Oh, my God.
The Silver Knights with the spear also do that. Like, they have a poke back with their... They have the spin. They also have, like, when they stab, they poke back first.
Huh.
So they'll poke you in the in with the back of their spear first. But that particular mimic is guarding a very important weapon for new players, the Lightning Spear. There's several instances in the game where the game will, like, make available a semi-powerful weapon that anyone can use, almost.
Hmm.
Yep.
The first one is in the Undead Burg. If you do a specific ritual, you can cut off the dragon's tail on the bridge.
It is a dragon. It has a tail. Therefore, it has a tail weapon.
Oh.
Yeah. And you can get a very... You can get a...
Semi-powerful...
A semi-powerful sword from that will seem hot nuts for a long time.
Mm.
And by around the time it starts being lame, you can find the Lightning Spear, which is, whoa, this is cool. It does lightning damage. Like, anybody can use it. It just requires, like, 10 dex, 11 strength. And then when you get to New Anorlando, you find the Crystal Halberd, which, very powerful weapon that... So, like, the Lightning Spear is the intermediate of those.
Oh. I didn't use the Lightning Spear very much. Yeah, I might have, like, swung it around and decided that I didn't want to learn a new attack pattern right now, and it didn't have all that much damage, so...
The club was better at that point, but a lot of people just going in, like, if you're using, like, a +5 weapon at that point still...
It's an upgrade from that.
It's an upgrade. Okay.
So the game does sort of give... fallbacks that you can use in case of anything.
Yeah, there were a number of things that I would discover that felt out of place, and I think that's what that was. So if I think of them more as fail-safes and less as the thing that you're supposed to do,
it's not treasure.
Makes more sense, right?
Yeah.
Can you think of anything like that? Like what you're thinking of?
No, I mean... not anything other than what you've mentioned. I guess anytime I would discover a new shield... It felt like it was that.
Yep.
Sometimes it's like
like the the Eagle's Crest Shield.
The Eagle Shield. Yeah. That's a very powerful. That shield used to be a lot more powerful because it used to have 100% physical block.
Hmm.
But even at 95%, it's very lightweight. Almost anybody can use it.
That's huge.
You can't parry with it, but who cares? You're just blocking with it. A lot of people ended up using that just because of how easy to use it is.
Yeah, I accomplished perhaps 8 parries in the entire game.
You did, 3 of them at the beginning, and then the other 5.
At the very end, so...
That's something you can practice later, though.
Yeah.
We can, we can get skeletons. Better at that.
So, the other note I have on Sens is summoning and invasion mechanics, and kind of giving a rundown of those. So... Because I think this is the place where you started summoning and you started being invaded.